Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The mystery around the Air India crash that killed 260 people last month has deepened after a preliminary report into the tragedy was released at the weekend. Now, this report from India's Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau found that fuel supplies to the jet engines were cut off, apparently without either pilot having switched them. But since the report's release, the US Federal Aviation Administration has insisted that the fuel control switches in Boeing airplanes are safe. Let's get more on this now. Kevin Byrne is with me, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Security and Safety Auditor. Kevin, thanks for being with us this morning. This all seems...
Good morning, Claire.
Good morning to you. Seems like a bit of a mystery. So the report had details on the cockpit audio that was recorded just before the crash happened. So what did the report tell us about what happened in that moment?
Well, it's a report issued under ICAO, International Civil Aviation Organization, Annex 13. They're obliged to put a report out within 30 days of the accident happening. And that's exactly what's been done by the Indian Air Accident Investigation Bureau. And they've got a fairly proud history of doing proper things. And they brought in the experts from elsewhere to help them. But it's a bit of a mystery at the end of it, because they focused in on the fact that the fuel control module somehow switched off the fuel to both engines number one and two. The 787 is a fine aircraft made by Boeing. There's more than 1,000 in service. And in the last month, no directives have been made about its airworthiness, both as regards the airframe or the air engines or any part of it like that. So it's a heck of a mystery, because I had the privilege of sitting in the first of these aircraft, the 787s, to come into Dublin about 13 years ago. And it's got two throttle controls. There are power levers in front between the two pilots. And beneath them, there are two little switches, which are the fuel control mechanisms. And if you can imagine, there's a device on top of them. You can't just press them, brush against them, or knock them off accidentally. It's a bit like launching a missile in a Hollywood movie. You have to lift a tab and then press or turn or twist, whatever it might be. So it can't be done accidentally. And if it wasn't touched by either of the pilots, how did the fuel stop running to two fine engines taking off just maybe 200 or 300 feet above the ground? Because one of the photographs published on this 15-page report, which I've just read a few minutes ago, has a photograph, and it shows you the air turbine deployed under the fuselage, which meant the engines had failed very soon after takeoff, much more quickly than I had thought initially when I saw the video of it. So it's a bit of a mystery. How did this happen? And nobody knows yet.
And what was the conversation detailed in the report about that the pilots had?
Yeah, well, one of them is, there's a thing called the pilot flying and the pilot non-flying. The pilot flying does all of the manual controls, as it were, and the pilot non-flying looks after the systems, takes the undercarriage up the flaps, talks to air traffic control, and monitors the pilot flying. And that's a normal thing to do, and they do it about face, captain and first officer and that kind of thing. It doesn't say whose voice said, but one of the pilots, presumably the pilot flying, says, "Why did you turn off the two fuel control devices?" And the guy says, I didn't touch them at all," or similar words. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, the pilot non-flying doing the air traffic control says, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." So there was a very serious and urgent problem shortly after takeoff. Now, if the pilots didn't touch it, and if the people doing the investigation, including Boeing, who are there, and the FAA from America and the NTSB and the UK AAIU units, they're all on the ground there because they were invited in under the Annex 13. The Indians have them there. They'll be sitting on the table and trying to figure out how it happens. But Boeing have said there's no problem with it. And more intriguingly, the CEO of Air India issued a letter over the weekend, and he wrote to all of the employees. His name is Campbell Wilson. He said there's no mechanical or maintenance issues with the engine or the aircraft in this case. All mandatory tasks had been completed before the flight took place. There's no fuel issues with the airport because they've been testing that. And there were no takeoff abnormalities, including sabotage or bird strikes. So it's one heck of a mystery, Claire. And I'm not sure where we're going to go from here.
So Campbell Wilson, in making that statement, is he suggesting that one of the pilots flicked these switches?
Nobody's saying that, but it's pointing
implied,
the finger.
Right?
Yeah, there's always going to be a conflict, as you can imagine, between the people who make the aircraft, in this case Boeing. They did have a bad track record, you'll remember. We spoke about this with the Boeing Maxes for a while, and then they solved that problem and they're flying now. But you've got the engine manufacturers, and then you've got the servicing of the aircraft by the people on the ground there in India, and it's all pointing one way, but they're not saying it as such. If you eliminate anything wrong with the material that is in the aircraft itself, and you haven't issued any airworthiness directives that the people who fly the other 1,000 of these aircraft, and one flew over my head on Saturday evening here in North Kildare. They're flying everywhere. I saw four of them in Heathrow last week as well. There's a lot of, at stake if you ground an airliner, I should say, by a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet. Nobody has said you have to urgently replace your fuel control items on this aircraft type. It's, by the way, common with other Boeing types as well. So if that doesn't happen, are you pointing the finger back at the pilot non-flying? We just don't know at the moment.
And when it comes to what is recorded in the cockpit, we don't have video recordings, do we? We just have sound.
No, that's the next stage, to be honest, because they're quite complex. There's a dual recording device, two sets of them on the 787 Dreamliner. So we're getting better at recording what happens, you know, aboard the aircraft. But we haven't yet got to the stage, which I find a bit strange, of video recording. Wouldn't be a big deal to put a small cockpit, a little camera in the cockpit and record what people are saying as well as doing. It took us a long time to get the cockpit voice recorders working, but they work very well. And without them, it's very difficult to get the full picture, as you can imagine, because you can see and you can predict what happens by putting stuff on the screen and analysing where ailerons and tails were and undercarriage and engine settings and all that kind of thing. But to have a human input and a conversation about this is very, very important for analysis.
There's going to be a lengthier investigation now, isn't that right, over a 12-month period?
They have a year usually in which to do this now, but there's a huge amount at stake, as you can imagine, because if it's a serious problem with a particular airline, the company then, or airliner I should say, the company is on the hook for the insurance and that kind of thing. If it's a problem with pilot training or that kind of thing, if they can point the finger at the crew, it's an unfortunate accident. But it's so unusual in this case to issue a statement saying there's no mechanical, there's no other problem with the aircraft in regards to maintenance. By the way, just in passing, I read the report which says that the throttle control module on this particular aircraft, which is registered VTANB, that's the registration of the aircraft that crashed, this throttle control module was replaced twice, once in 2019 and once in 2023, but it's not linked with the fuel control in any way, so it's just an ordinary repair. So that was done, but they're certainly getting away from the mechanical aspect of it, so General Electric and Boeing to some extent will feel a little bit happier, I suppose, at this report.
Wasn't there an advisory from the FAA in 2018 when it came, Kevin, to these Boeing models to inspect the locking feature of the fuel cutoff switches? Now, it wasn't mandatory, but they said you might be well advised to have a look at these things to make sure they can't be knocked off accidentally.
Yes, and that was done allegedly in this case. I wasn't sure that it was, but it said the Campbell Wilson's report has said all mandatory tasks could be done, plus others. So the maintenance would expect to do that. But if it's not a serious problem, it doesn't become an airworthiness requirement, you see. So as I said, there's more than 1,000 of these aircraft flying through our skies all the time. So everybody's looking at this and they want to know why. Having said that, I may have mentioned this before in the programme, Claire, but these inquiries into air accidents where people are fatally injured are as good, if not more detailed, than some murder inquiries. They will go into the background of all the people who've been flying and who have maintained the aircraft and air traffic control, the whole lot. It's a huge investigation. It's very intrusive in some ways, particularly to the families of those who have passed away, the flying crew and such like. But it has to be done just to see that there's nothing sinister in the background.
Kevin, thank you so much for explaining all of that to us. Kevin Byrne there. Now, coming up, meat is one of the basic food items that has skyrocketed in price. Today we're going to find out how to make that meat stretch. We'll talk to both a butcher and a chef. Plus, a doctor has a warning about rabies for anyone travelling overseas. That's next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.